won't take any more time. I've prayed much about even the order of all the young men that will be preaching tonight. And we'll see if you, as soon as you get that pulled up without an alarm, we're going to turn our first preacher loose tonight. And the way it's written down here, and the way I went back there and prayed and said, God, now you show me and open the word. And the Lord showed me the number of order this is supposed to go in. So, Luke, the lot fell on you. So, Brother Luke, you're going to be preaching our first message tonight. Y'all make him feel welcome. Good to have Luke Walter.
The book of John, chapter number 10. The book of John, chapter number 10. I'll give you a second to flip over there to the book of John, chapter number 10. We're going to be reading verses number 25 through 30. When you found your place, if you'd say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hands. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. I want to look firstly at the unbelieving scorners. In verse number 19 through 26, it said they, the Jews, they're not believing that Jesus is the Messiah. It says that many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And others of them said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? We see that the Jews here, they are unbelieving and they are scorning against Jesus. There's many people in this world today that are unbelieving and they scorn Christians for believing in Jesus. And they go on to say, if thou be Christ, tell us plainly. They're doubting that he could even be the Christ. And so I see, secondly, that there is an unbreakable salvation. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I think tonight, if you are saved, you know the Master's voice. It says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Jesus said, if you eat of the bread of life, you will never hunger. He said, if you drink of the living water, you will never thirst. And he says here, if I give you eternal life, you will never perish. He goes on to say that neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hands. I get to thinking about that hand, the Father's hand. It's the hand that formed the earth. It's the hand that hung the sun. It's the hand that placed the moon and the stars. It's the hand that formed mankind in his own image. It's the hand that touched the blind. It's the hand that touched the deaf and made them hear. It's the hand that made the sick walk. It's the hand that was hung on an old rugged cross. It's the hand that was shown to Doubting Thomas in that upper room. And it is the same hand that wrote my name one day in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's the same hand that holds my hand. It's the same hand that walks with me. It's the same hand that comforts me. God's hand, the Almighty hand, Jesus' hand, he holds me and he guides me. The hand of Almighty God. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I tell you tonight, mankind cannot pluck me out of my Father's hands. The devil cannot pluck me out of my Father's hands. Sin cannot pluck me out of my Father's hands. The angels cannot pluck me out of my Father's hands. I can't even pluck my own self out of God's hands. And the Lord, he don't want to pluck me out of his hands. I'm saved and I'm secure. And I'm sealed forevermore. I cannot lose that salvation that God has freely given me. And I see thirdly, that there's an undeniable Savior. He said, I and my Father are one. He is wonderful. He is Counselor. He is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. He's the only one that could take my sins and make them nothing. In the Old Testament, the sheep, they died for the shepherd. But in the New Testament, the shepherd, he died for the sheep. The shepherd, he died for me. The shepherd, he died for you. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Son of the living God. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the great I am. He is and he was and he will forever be. I'll tell you tonight, he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the bright and morning star, the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus is his name. I'm thankful tonight that my salvation is in Jesus and that he is my shepherd. And I can count on that I am in securely in his arms.
Give that microphone to Brother Zach Huskins. Our next speaker is going to be Tyler Pittman. Y'all welcome Preacher Tyler Pittman to the pulpit. Brother Tyler.
Bless you. Boy, that's a blessing, Brother Luke. Fired me up, I'll tell you that. Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah chapter number 43. I'm going to preach on this thought, just a little reminder. Let us look in verse number 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Like I said, I just want to preach on this thought, just a little reminder. Let us pray real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray, God, that you be with each and every preacher as they bring the word. Lord, give them unction and power. And give them boldness. Lord, I pray, God, that you say that soul is lost. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. So now I see in the book of Isaiah, we know that it's a mini Bible within the Bible. It's got an Old Testament and a New Testament, if you will. In the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah, it deals with the judgment and the sin of Israel. And then the last 27 chapters of the book of Isaiah, it deals with redemption and being redeemed. So here we've just began to come into the new section in the New Testament, if you will, about redemption. Verse 42 ends with the sorrow of God because of the people's spiritual downfall of Israel. And then verse number 43 begins with hope and begins with redemption. And so firstly, I'm reminded of his comfort. Verse number 1, it says, Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, that he formed thee. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Sometimes the best thing we can do when we're going through life's trials and tribulations and we find ourselves in a storm or maybe the waters are overflowing. Maybe we're finding ourselves in the fire like in verse number 2. We feel like we're getting consumed. The best thing we can have is some words of comfort. And the Lord provides some words of comfort to Israel right here. He says, I've created you. He says, I have formed thee. I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. I know who you are. The Lord reminded me that he knows my name. He knows who I am. He counts the hairs on my head. That's some encouragement this morning. But I like where he says, I redeemed thee. I remember that he saved me from a pit of hell. He saved me from my sin and my shame. That makes me want to shout this evening. That makes us all want to shout. No matter what we're going through in life, we're redeemed if we're saved. And then I like in verse number 4, it says, I have loved thee. I'm reminded of his love. And how it's, we can't even fathom that love that he has for us. And there, then I see that we're reminded of a commandment. In verse number 1, it says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. In verse number 5, it says, fear not, for I am with thee. We have nothing to fear this evening. No matter what trials or tribulations, no matter what sickness comes our ways, we have nothing to fear. We know that it says 365 times in the Bible, fear not. We have nothing to fear each and every day. The Lord's been challenging me lately. saying, where's your faith at? Why have you lost all your faith? He's reminding me that He is with us always. He'll never leave me or forsake me. He'll never let me walk through a fire alone. I'm reminded of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they were thrown in that fire. And here He was walking with them, and that fire did not consume them or kill them. They couldn't even smell the smoke on their coats or anything like that. Whatever you're going through today, the Lord's not going to leave you or forsake you. He's going to walk with you. He's always going to be there. And then lastly, I'm reminded that He's the commander. He's in control. 4 to 6 times in this chapter right here, it says, I am the Lord thy God. It says, I am He. I'm reminded that He's still God. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's always been. He's verse number 15, it says, I am the Lord your God. Verse number 13, it says, yea, before the day was, I am He. You see, He sees eternity past and eternity present all at the same time. He's already in that storm you're going to go through tomorrow. He's already in that storm you're going to go through in a couple years from now. He's going to be with you always. I'm reminded that He's the same God that provided Abraham a sacrifice. He's the same God made the waters apart with Moses. He's the same God that walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. He's the same God that saved Daniel from the lion's den. He's the same God that saved me. And He's going to be the same God that's going to go with you and help you in the trials and tribulations that you're going through. I just want to remind you that He's still God, church, and He's going to go with you always.
Yes, thank God, thank God. Amen. I'm getting excited up here. I'm telling you. Amen. All right, our next preacher. Me, brothers, you go right ahead, son. Amen. Yes, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Y'all welcome our next preacher, Brother Zach Huskins.
I'm going to need your prayers. I'm losing my voice, and this is an incredibly difficult message for me to preach because it's so humbling. I could talk about this one for hours, and I hope the Lord gives me the opportunity to one day. But I want to preach on this one thought. In John chapter 19, be verse number 2 through 5. In verse number 2, it says, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. They said, Hail, King of the Jews, and smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. So the thought I want to preach on is, he wore my crown. This passage of scripture is incredibly familiar. Anybody who's heard the gospel, and some who don't know it as well, even know this story. Our Savior is taken before Pilate. He's viciously beaten and scourged. And if we continue to read in the chapter, he's condemned to death by crucifixion. You notice here, though, being scourged wasn't enough. To quote a popular phrase, the Romans added insult to injury. A crown of thorns is placed on his flawless head, and a purple robe is put on his body. Jesus is mocked and ridiculed without thought or care. But what I want to focus on is that crown. It's not a crown of glory or power. It's not what he deserved. This was a crudely constructed instrument of torture. When we think of thorns, you may think of the tiny spurs on roses or a briar patch. Not this one. To have pierced his head as deeply as it did, those thorns had to be large. And history shows the Romans were no strangers to suffering. That was anything but a fitting crown for the King of Kings. Church, the crown the soldiers put on Jesus was more than just circumstance. That crown, in fact, had an owner. That crown belonged to me. It should have been me. I should have been beaten and broken for my sins. It should have been me left to die. I should have taken those nails in my hands. I should have been forsaken by God with the weight of my sin on my shoulders. Every open wound inflicted on His body was mine. But God, what power those two words alone have. Those two words can be magnified infinitely when we add two more words to it. But God loved us. He loved us so much. He sent His only Son to die for my sins. To die my death so I wouldn't have to. So that I could be forgiven for my sins. So that I could have a home with Him. When we really apply the significance of this passage to ourselves, when I really apply it to me, it's there that I'm reminded why that crown is so important. You see, Jesus wore my crown. He let them put it on Him. He didn't resist. He didn't struggle. Jesus wore my crown so that someday I could wear His.
Dandy. Amen. Any crown that we get, we're going to lay at His feet. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. All right. I appreciate that, Brother Zach. That was just, I guarantee you, they're shouting in glory out there. Miss Dorothy's having a fit. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Our next preacher, y'all make him welcome. Brother Kevin Buchanan.
Smile this evening because I know that what we're preaching about and seeing about it's true.
Yes.
But if you have your Bibles, we'll be in Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. We'll begin reading in the 9th verse of the 10th chapter. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. When you find your place, I'll ask you if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all the rich is unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a lot of things in this life that we consider to be important. We consider our families and our finances important. And we consider our health and things of that nature important. And all these things, they are important to us. But the most important thing in our life is where we're going to spend our eternity, church. And the Lord's led me to preach to you tonight on salvation.
Yeah.
It's the only way to get to spend eternity in heaven. You see, when you leave this world, those who are saved by the blood will enter into heaven, and those who are lost, they're going to enter into hell, church.
Yeah.
I believe that to be true. The Bible tells us that, church. So I'm going to ask you tonight: do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Number one, salvation. Salvation is instant. In Romans 10:13, The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that word shall, church. Yes. It doesn't say that you might be saved. It doesn't say that you'll be saved here in a little bit. It says that thou shalt be saved, church. I'm glad that when I got saved, that the Lord saved me right there in that instant, church. I believe that if you'll just ask Him tonight, He'll save your soul right that very instant, church. All you've got to do is believe on Him, believe that He died for you, and that He rose again on the third day, and that He went to heaven, and just ask Him to come into your heart and life, church. That's all that it takes, church. There's no long drawn out process. There's no wait list. Church, all you got to do is just ask Him, church, and you'll be saved instantly. Number two, salvation is infinite, church. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Church, I'm glad that there's no fine print in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. Hey, I'm glad, church, that it doesn't say that you might be saved. It doesn't believe. I'm glad that it says that it don't say that I'll be saved unless I do something that I shouldn't do, church. I'm glad that salvation is infinite this evening, church. I'm glad that we can lose it even if we wanted to, just like Luke said, church. You see, Jesus died for all your sins, past, present, and future, church. And I don't understand this idea that people's got that you can lose it, church, because you couldn't lose it this evening, church. I'm glad that Jesus' blood shed one time was plenty enough for me, church.
Yes.
I'm glad to know tonight that I couldn't go to hell even if I wanted to, church, because the blood's been applied.
Wow.
I'm thankful this evening that salvation is infinite, church, and it was plenty enough when Jesus shed His blood for me. And lastly, salvation is imperative, church.
Yes, amen.
And I looked up the definition of imperative. It said of vital importance or crucial. John 3:16, we know it very well. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, church. I'm here to tell you, church, it's your choice. You can either perish or you can have everlasting life. You can either suffer in torment or you can have everlasting life, church. We know that you know how to be saved. You know that salvation is infinite. And I cannot stress enough to you how important salvation is, church. The choice is yours tonight. If you're saved, you're going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ, with your loved ones going on, with all the saints of old, just to spend time with Jesus Christ and praise His name and have a new body and sing praises eternally, church.
Yes.
But if you're lost and undone, if you hadn't been saved, then whenever your time comes, you'll spend eternity in eternal darkness, in eternal pain, in eternal torment, eternal agony and anguish, church. And there's nothing worse in this world or anything else than being in hell, church. So I want to ask you tonight, do you know Him as your personal Savior? All you got to do, just believe on Him tonight, church. Just ask Him. Just come to this old-fashioned altar. Get somebody off of this front row. Have them pray with you, church, because it's imperative, church.
Amen.
I pray tonight that nobody walks out of the doors of this church without knowing Him as their personal Savior.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Keevan. I had to be the get back coach there for just a minute. I don't know if you knew it, Brother Keevan, but somehow that mic was off. So, Brother Rim, you check that mic before you get up here. Make sure it's not on mute. Make sure it's on. And when you're preaching Jesus Saves, the most important thing is that we hear you. Amen. We got folks online that's going to want to hear this. Maybe tonight or maybe tomorrow or maybe in a week. And so the get back coach had to make sure you stayed at the microphone so we could hear you. Amen. That's why I pushed you back. I'm sorry about that. Amen. Amen. It's hard to do when you want to stroll off and somebody knocks you backwards and you just keep right on task. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that, Brother Keevan. That was a blessing. Amen. Amen. I remember one time I was preaching over in the Bethel community over towards Waynesville, and they have what's called a Sunday month of revivals, and they have different preachers come in every week, and they had J. Harold Smith come in, and then they had me, and then they had another big name preacher that came in behind me. And here's the problem: J. Harold Smith, mountaintop preacher, the guy coming behind me, mountaintop preacher. You know what you have? A valley, right? So I'm here to be living proof there's a valley for ever two mountaintops. And I told that church that, and that is the truth. But tonight you guys don't have to worry about how y'all are wedged in here, because you're all mountaintops to me, amen. As I come across the back there, Brother Larry stopped me. He said, you know, the same God that made the mountaintop is the same God made the valley. He's over every single one of them. He knows where we are and He knows our name. And I say, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Our next preacher, Brother Jerry Sparks. Y'all give Brother Jerry a good welcome.
Amen, preacher. Amen. Appreciate you, Pastor.
Love you. Bless you.
Amen. It's good to be in God's house. Amen. Amen. Appreciate this opportunity to preach a little bit of His Word and just brag on Him. That's why we're here, to uplift the name of Jesus. It's not about us. It never will be. But it's all about Him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I appreciate the Lord just tonight and appreciate the good service this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. And this is real familiar scripture. And I'm going to try my best to hurry. And I want to preach on this thought. Be ready, be prepared. Amen. This is a story, of course, about the 10 virgins that had their lamps. And it says in verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet their bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. That sounds pretty foolish to me. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps while the bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out to meet him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this time and this privilege. Lord, thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Be with me, Lord, as I try to preach your word and help my voice. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that's foolish. And that's the ones that don't believe in God. Amen. There is a God out there, I promise you. And if you don't believe that, look around and let's just see how everything is made around here. You mean, you think man planted trees one at a time? This whole world, there ain't no way. But these virgins, these 10, 5 of them had their lamps. And they had them full, and 5 didn't. And, you know, when you're going to set out on a journey, or going anywhere, you need to make sure that you've got everything prepared. We need to make arrangements. When you go on vacation, you schedule your motel room or wherever you're going to stay, and you just make arrangements. I'm glad I made arrangements to be with Heaven, with my Lord and Savior one day. And it wasn't because it didn't cost me no money to get a room. I've got a mansion waiting on me. Amen. And I thank God for that today. But it's because that He went to Calvary that I've got that mansion. And these 5 virgins that were foolish, they wanted the ones that were wise to give them oil, it says here. And they wouldn't do it, so go out and buy yours. But what the mistake they made, while they were gone, the Lord came. And He came, and they left behind. We never know. Over here in verse 13, this same chapter says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I know one thing for sure, He's coming. And we don't know, but I know He's coming. And, you know, this song we just sung, Thank God I'm Free. Every time we sing that last verse, like a bird out of prison. I'm doing this because I'm going home one day. I'm going to fly out of here. I'm going to spread my wings and I'm going home to be with Him. But the fact of the matter in this story, they got left behind because they weren't prepared. Amen? They just didn't make arrangements to do it. Now is the day of salvation, people. Don't put it off. I mean, you stop and think about it. We don't know when Jesus is coming, just like I said. But when He comes, are we going to be ready to go with Him? Are we saved, washed in the blood of Jesus? That's all that matters in this life. Nothing else matters. Where are we going to spend eternity? That's the main thing. There's 2 places, heaven or hell. And you say, preacher, how far is it to heaven and how far is it to hell? I'll just tell you. Wherever you're sitting right here, and if you're listening online tonight, listen, folks. Get saved before it's too late. This church where you're sitting here tonight, how many steps is it from where you're at to this altar? That's the only thing you need to do to come and be saved. There's not one of us, none of us perfect. Over in Psalms 37:27, it says the steps of a good man. There's not one. The Bible says, no, not one. There's not a good man. There wasn't but one, and that was Jesus Christ Himself. He was the only one that was perfect. The only man that was perfect. Sinless blood. And it took that blood to shed for all of us. You know, there's a song called, Why Me, Lord? I don't understand it. I don't understand why He went to Calvary and died for somebody like me. I mean, look at me. I'm just an old sinner. Saved by grace. Through His blood. Through His shed blood. But I know one thing. He loved me enough to care for me. He said, Father, he said, they owe us in debt, and I'll go and I'll pay it. But these virgins got left behind, and they won't any in after it says here in verse number 11, afterward came the other virgin and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. It's too late. I believe God deals with somebody a certain amount of time to get saved. And after that, you can't do it. When God comes knocking on your door, you need to respond. I mean, you need to listen. But I'm glad that I'll be in heaven one day because I got my lamp filled on October the 13th of 1996 at this church. It's the best thing I ever done, the best thing I'll ever do, and nothing can take the place of it. But be prepared, folks. Get saved. Think about where you're going to spend eternity. It's not a life and matter. It's a serious thing. It really is. Thank y'all for listening. I love you.
I was thinking, one time I was preaching, I believe I was over in Burnsville, Sister Maria Podbreski. Y'all know who Sister Maria Podbreski is? And Keevan, I had the mic on and it worked fine, and this mic here worked fine. And I come off in a big way, you know how you do preaching, and took off down the aisle way, preached a little bit down the aisle way, then come back and I strolled this way and I strolled that way, and I started to go back down the aisle way again. And what she did, she caught my coat. She caught my coat and pulled it. And I turned around and looked at her and she went. And I knew what she was saying. She's deaf. And she reads lips. And she said, I read your lips good because you have a big mouth. That's what she said. But when you go down that aisle, I can't read your lips. Sound systems don't work. I'm deaf. I have to read lips to be able to get anything. And so I had to learn, you don't take off down the aisle when you have a deaf person that needs to, right? And so it's sometimes we get in a big way, and it's not about all that. It's about relaying the message, right? We got to relay. We have a message to relay, amen? And that message is Jesus Christ. And I've heard it tonight, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, thank God for it. Amen. Redemption, redemption, redemption. Hey, God's always going to be with us, and I thank God for that. Amen. All right, our next preacher, Brother Remington Austin. Y'all make Brother Remington welcome. Get that mic fixed.
The boys got me back here. Hello, hello, hello. You good? Am I on? All right, good deal. Mind me, I'm a little slow tonight. I played ball with them boys tonight, and I'm about to move. Stove up stiff. Hobble around there. But I began to look this morning. It's funny, all these boys, you know, talking about mountaintops and valleys. And when I heard the preacher say this morning, we're going to be preaching, God give me a thought. And I want to preach on this thought out of Hebrews in chapter number 6 and verse number 18. The Bible says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. That's a summons or a calling. We might have a strong calling who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I'm going to preach on this thought. There's a hope on the slope. I mean, I can't make no sense out of it. I don't understand, but I don't know who you are tonight. And God said they didn't get it this morning. God said, give it to them again. I want to let you know, bless God, there is a hope on the slope. Between these two mountaintops is going to be a slope going every direction. Like your grandma said, we went to school uphill both ways. And you are on the slope. You're either going down the slope or you're going up the slope. But there's always hope on the slope. I see, first of all, I see that this word hope, the acronym for this, it can mean many things. But I begin to look and God give me four things on this. I see, first of all, in Psalms chapter 42, I'm going to flip right quick on you. Psalms chapter 42, in verse number 5, the Bible says, here in Psalms 42, in verse number 5, it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks,
So panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? Have you experienced that? Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of the joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. But listen here. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I see, first of all, this hope. Hope stands for hold on to praise every day. You are to hold on to praise every day. Every single day. Bless God, you're going up the slope, down the slope, in the slope, out the slope. I mean, the devil's beating you up, down, all around. Bless God, and you are to be holding on to that praise every single day. Over here in Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 19, the Bible says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. You want to be hoping in praise every day, sure and steadfast. Never let out of that praise, sure and steadfast. Your heavenly Father wants to hear praise. He wants you to hope in Him. Hold on to that. I see, second of all, I see hope not only stands for holding on to praise every day, but it's holding on to prayer every day. In 2 Chronicles, I read over this the other morning in 2 Chronicles in chapter number 7, I believe it is. Yeah, number 7, verse 14, the Bible says, I'll back up verse 13. If I shut up in heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land. Bless God, once again, we ought to be holding on to prayer, steadfast, every day, unmovable, unchangeable, unthinkable. We ought to be hoping in prayer because that's all we got. I see thirdly here, not only that, I see hope stands for holding on to peace every day. I see Romans chapter 5, verse number 2, the Bible says, Romans 5 and 2, the Bible says here, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Bless God, I hope in the peace that comes with it. If I can praise Him, if I can hope in praise, and I can hope in prayer, bless God, I can hope and have peace doing it, because His peace passeth all understanding. There ain't nothing God can't give you peace of. There ain't nothing God, when you go to hoping in Him, He goes to giving peace by the bountiful, by the fillful. I mean, just manna, upon potfuls of manna, and God will give you peace. I see fourthly, and I'll be done. We see here, fourthly, we see holding on to the promise. Every day, say, what's that promise, preacher? Turn over here to Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. The Bible says, Romans 8 and 24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? If God showed up, you wouldn't hope for Him no more. If God was to heal all your problems, you wouldn't hope for Him no more. Bless God, you've got to go down in the valley and up the other side so you'd have some hope about yourself. Bless God, there's hope on the slope. Keep your hope up.
Hey, man, I got some new ideas how to teach my seventh grade math class. I was teaching them this week about slope. What was a negative slope? What was a positive slope? Rise over run. We're working out y equals mx plus b. And they're in the seventh grade, and they're thinking, help us, Jesus. And I just got it. There's hope on the slope. I already know how to draw it. Amen? I'm going to draw that thing. I'm going to draw it going this way and draw it going that way. Amen. That's going to work perfect. Thank God for it. Amen. Amen. Boy, you boys are helping me learn how to preach. I appreciate this. Thank God. All right, our next preacher. Y'all make him welcome. Brother Josh Forbes.
Hey, amen. I appreciate being here. I love popcorn preaching. We'll go ahead and get right into it. The book of Matthew, we'll be looking in chapter number 5, and I hope y'all are encouraged. I sure am. I love hearing about my Savior, love being redeemed, and I love what it means. We're going to be looking in verse 16, and I know you've heard that and heard that and heard that, and you've heard me preach it But I hope you're encouraged, because God didn't let me preach an encouraging message tonight. I'm going to have to challenge you. I believe the Word of God does encourage us, but it also challenges us. And I hope that you'll be challenged by this. The Bible says, we'll go ahead and read, the Bible says in Matthew 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I'm glad we're redeemed tonight. I'm glad we're saved under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad I have a Savior. Glad I'm going to heaven. And I hope you are. And if you are, I'm glad you are. But let me tell you something. It doesn't end there. Well, this thing ain't over. Last week I got to preach at Freedom, and I preached a message titled "Finish Strong." But in order to finish strong, you have to have started strong, and you have to be working strong. While the finish comes, you have to already be working strong, and it's something that we're failing at. Even now, even in this church, even in this town, even in our country, that's something we're failing at, is working and shining our light for God. We wonder and wonder and wonder and wonder and wonder why our country's in the shape it's in. We wonder why our town's in the shape it's in, why mass running rampant, and why there's so much homosexuality on the television. And while these things going on, while we're at the footstep of war, and why we wonder why, and we blame the devil. We say, well, the devil's bringing all this in, and the devil's he's flooding, and maybe he's doing a little bit, but it's our fault if it's anybody's fault, because we stopped a long time ago standing up for what's right. We stopped a long time ago telling people about God. We stopped a long time ago. We lost our backbone. We don't have any grit in our teeth. We've compromised and compromised and compromised until we're just a sleeping giant, until we're the mockers, being mocked, and we're a laughing stock, that people don't take us seriously. And it's all because somewhere, sometime along the way back there, we got complacent, and we stopped shining our light, and we stopped doing what we know to be doing. We stopped doing what God's Word told us to be doing, because we don't know what God's Word says. We stopped asking God for things, and stopped expecting God to answer our prayers, because we stopped praying. And we wonder, don't we? Why, God, are you letting this happen to us? God, why'd you let COVID overtake the world? God, why ain't there no power in our church? Why are there people laying out? I was watching a live stream from the May of 2019. Every pew in this church was full. The choir loft was full. There wasn't an empty seat. We were full of the sides and standing on the stairs. You know why that's changed? Because during COVID, when all this, we were shut down, and we forgot about God. We forgot Him. We said, we'll just go on without God. We'll just forget what He has to say because, oh no, the president we wanted didn't get in. Let's forget about God and deal with ourselves. Amen? We just wonder, don't we? We stand back. How in the world did we get in the shape we're in? Why is my grand youngin' in the shape that he or she is in? Why is my son or my daughter in the way, in the shape she is or he is? How can I get him to come to church? How can I get him to do right or see what God wants for him? Maybe they should see it in you. It doesn't matter what I'm doing or what Preacher Darren's doing or what any of these other men of God are doing. If you're not showing it to them at home, they won't get it. Amen. It doesn't matter if you want to be effective in your workplace. You have to know what God's Word says. You have to be praying. You have to have a prayer life. But we just sit back and expect God to do everything and us to reap the benefits. We sit back and expect God to help us and to answer every call and to answer every prayer and to heal every sickness and to just keep blessing us and blessing us and blessing us when He gets nothing in return. You know, God asks for obedience. He tells us to love Him with our whole heart, with our whole mind, and with our whole strength. And He tells us to love one another. And we can't even do those two simple things. We can't even show the love of God to somebody that we go to church with. Instead, we gossip and we talk bad and we make up lies. And we wonder why our church ain't got no power. We wonder what's going on with our society. It's because God's people have stopped being God's people.
Well, I was going to be done, but I'm not. I just want to be obedient. in the book of James. Turn there with me real quick. Thank you, Brother Josh. You're exactly right. The book of James. The book of James. I want to read in verse number 10. James chapter 5 and verse number 10. And I promise I won't take the full air I'm stoked up with right now. James chapter 4, verse number 10. There's a lot of scripture here. You can read about how God resists the... Thank you. How God resists... I'll stay planted. They taught me. When I go to the radio station, you go to the radio station, they put the light up there and says, now you're on. You ain't got room to go right or left. You're there. Okay, if you want to walk, you stand there and move like this. That's just where you are. And I learned that at the radio station. And then sometimes here at the church, we have one person back there at the sound booth. It's hard to run it all by yourself. You've got all these different things to do. And sometimes them boys will just look at you and say, please, preacher, stay still. That helps me a whole lot. So I have to chase you with the camera and do all this stuff and pull the scriptures up and all this stuff. So you just learn, okay? It's not about where I go and what I do. It's the most important part is delivering the message. It's delivering the message. So I just want to calmly, I said verse 10. I want to read verse 6 too just because I have to. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace. He giveth grace. That's a present participle. Giveth grace unto the humble. All day long today, humility. Even yesterday, humility. 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 Our girls went to play for state championship. We lost. Broke our hearts. You know why it hurts so bad? Oh, because y'all worked so hard. That's part of it. Oh, because you wanted it so. No, it's pride. It's pride. Hurt it. What hurt me so bad was we got humbled. Lost that game, and it came down to pride. And God showed me, he said, there's not one thing that I can't accomplish when you're humble. I said to you last week, God loves us just because he's God. It's not anything that you did. It's not anything that I did. He just loves us because he's God. God is love. But we always make everything about us. Everything about us. I went to my wife. We've been married 34 years today. And I said, what made you fall in love with me? Was it my smile? Was it my charm? Was it my eyes? Well, what was it? She looked at me. I thought, oh, Lord, here it comes. She said, well, it was just a whole lot of things. I said, that'll do. That'll do right there. That'll do. That'll do. Because what if she'd have said, well, it was nothing? How would you girls feel? And how would you fellas feel if you said to your spouse, what made you fall in love with me? And they said, well, it's nothing. That kind of hurt you a little bit, wouldn't it? Then it was nothing about it. It wasn't your personality. It wasn't your smile. It wasn't your looks. It wasn't your heart. It wasn't your personality. It wasn't anything. That hurt you a little bit. And you know why it hurt you? You know why? Because it's about you. You think it's something you have to do. Something you have to maintain. And why it hurts so bad is because we're so stinking prideful. Right. Even we make love about us. Sure. And God said, I'm just teaching you the reason y'all lost, as bad as it hurts. And our boys lost in the quarterfinals. They had done so well. He said, you can't preach on ball games. I was telling you, you know why it hurts so bad to lose, guys? You know why it hurts so bad? Because you got humbled. You know why we can't accept a referee's call, right or wrong? Pride. Sometimes they're just wrong, preacher. I know. They are. You're right. They're wrong. But if we learn to accept things, and the reason we want is our stinking pride. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Somehow, when we're lifted up in pride, we're not drawing nigh to God. Amen. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Here we go. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Amen. 34 years of marriage, and I still have a lot of pride. How about you, sir? You have a lot of pride? Sometimes you wonder, you know, some of those days that work, I mean, they've all been good days. Some's been better than others. But you know what I mean? Say amen right there. Say, oh, me. But a lot of it was pride. Rotten, stinking pride. One time, we came in from church. I went to the altar. It was a great service. God, show me my heart. I want to get close to you. I want to draw nigh to you. And Lord, I know there's stuff in there it ought not to be. And on the way home, my wife said something about our schedule tomorrow, what needed to be done. And it didn't fit my schedule, or at least not what I thought my schedule ought to be. And so I said to her, I said, nope, that's not going to happen. And she said something back to me, and I said something back to her. The next thing you know, we're in a fuss on the way home from church. We hadn't even gotten the driveway yet. When we got in the car, slammed the door, walked in the house, I went stomping up the steps, take my tie off. She went toward the kitchen, and I got up there and said, I cannot believe, Lord, we have such a service. And here this has happened. God said, hello. You asked me to show you what was in your heart so you could get rid of it, and I just let it fester up real quick to show you how stinking prideful and rotten and sinful you are. And, oh, Lord, you are so right. Please forgive me my sins. He said, I'll forgive you. Now go tell her. Yeah, but God, you bigger than her. I don't need to go down there and talk to her. You took care of it. So I had to go back down the steps. And I went down a whole lot different than I went up. I went up so she could hear my footsteps. When I come down, I didn't want her to hear. And I heard her in there. She was, listen, lady, she was in there in the kitchen, and you could hear pots and pans. She was, you know where you let them soak a while there in the sink. And so I walked up behind her. I put my hand on each side of her, and I said, honey, I'm sorry. I hate it when we fight. I'm wrong. I'll do whatever you need to be done tomorrow. She got that frying pan, and she turned around, and she planted one on me. My wife, my business. Now, I'm going to say something. There's nothing in your home that can't be resolved if you learn to humble yourself. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, He shall lift you up. You know what our problem is? We try to do the lifting. And we can't do it. Can I read one more place? I want to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Honest, this was not what I thought I'd be doing tonight at all. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, he's speaking in this chapter to the elders, feeding the flock of God, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, not as being lords. Are you hearing me, preachers? You're not to be a lord over God's heritage. You're supposed to be in samples to the flock. You know what that means? You're supposed to be a model. You're supposed to be the mold. You're supposed to be an example to the flock. And I had a preacher one time, and he said, I got a question for you about some things I'm dealing with in my church. And he said, and I feel like Bethel is a model church. And I thought, dear Lord, a model of what? What are we a model of? Huh? What are we a model of? I mean, are we the model of what it ought to be? Are we the model of what it ought not to be? It's a legitimate question. He says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory, verse 4, that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. You see that? Subject. Subject. That means to be a servant. One to another. I'm supposed to do what I'm asked to do. And be clothed with what? Humility. Are you, let me just ask you tonight, how's your suit fit? How's that dress fitting, ladies? How's that skirt fit nowadays? Are you clothed with humility? Or are you wearing something else? I'm just asking. Read on. For God resisteth the proud. Seemed like I read that somewhere. And he giveth grace to the humble. I just read that, didn't I? It's important if he says it. If he says it again, you better pay close attention. Now, I'm just sitting here tonight minding my own business. And these boys is preaching one right after another. And God said, you preach it. Lord, I don't want to preach that tonight. Lord, we've had 7 preachers. I don't get up there. I don't want to be the next. Lord said, you get up there and you're going to read this to them because somebody in your congregation online, they need to hear this. Humble. Look at verse 6. Humble. Number of man. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Again, it's not you to be the exalted, to do the exalted. It's not you to do the lifting up. There's not one thing. Are you hearing me? Hello? There's not one thing in your life that cannot be fixed without you using humility to do it. If you would walk up and if you would get broken in your heart and have tears, when Job's friends treated him so terribly, he said, miserable comforters are ye all. And he went through all the pains of boils on his body, and his bride said, cuss God and died, and he's bereaved of 10 children and bankrupt of all his possessions. And now God says, go pray for your buddies. Bible says to love God and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I'm going to ask you a question. Who today did you clothe? You clothed you. Who today did you feed? You fed you 3 squares a day. Who today did you tie their shoes? You. Maybe a little child somewhere along the way. I'm saying, who did you take care of today? And if you love your neighbors yourself, like you say you do, hello. But Josh, you're exactly right. You want to know why our churches are not packed anymore? I'm just going to be real honest. It's love. If we really would humble ourselves and love people the way we're supposed to, this church would be filled with people who love God and who love one another. And it starts with love. And love is rooted in humility. Love is not filled with pride and arrogance. Love is filled with humility. And God said, I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. You want to have love? You want to have grace? It starts on your knees with humility before God and being clothed with it and subjecting yourself, submitting yourself to your fellow man. Let me read on. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We like to do that casting business. We don't like the humility business, but we like to do that casting business. But then we like to pick it back up again. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You want to talk about the prideful one? That's the devil walking about seeking whom he may devour to try to deceive you and try to get you in a place to be filled with pride. I promise you, if you will look in your life, even times where I got upset as a coach, pride. You stand to your feet. Yes, sir. You please do. Go ahead. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, God came down to meet with them. They hid themselves.
Yes.
See, as we look at ourselves, God saved us as we are.
Yes.
A lot of times I put a front on and I can't commune with God or there's something philosophy. And if we can see ourselves and God sees us, we move out of the same. Think about our church and
Yes, sir. Yes.
I try to hide myself, but God sees that there's something in the way.
Yes.
And each of us has some little something in our life. We need to move out and we can commune with God.
That's right. That's exactly right. We try to hide it. Cause of pride. Most time I stand in this pulpit, if I mention pride, the devil fights it tooth and nail. I've even just kind of looked and seen little movement from our heart because we're like, I ain't prideful. How dare that preacher just say, I ain't prideful. I ain't a bit prideful. That sounded pretty prideful in what you just said. You prideful about not being prideful. Has he got you? I'm telling you, it starts with just admitting, humbling yourself, saying, God, I need you so bad. And I've done so wrong. You bow your head. There might be somebody here. You might say, Lord, help me. Help me. I want to be humble. It's such a fight sometimes, but I want to be humble. You can just step out tonight, raise your hand, however you feel led to do. Maybe somebody ought to come pray for these young men tonight that preached. It'll be a war. The devil's going to bid for them. Try to get them to be clothed with something else. Won't you come pray for these young men? Maybe there's some young people in our church you ought to pray for. You don't know what they're fighting in school. You don't know what they're facing. Pressures. Won't you come pray, Mama, for them youngins one more time? Youngins, won't you come pray for some of your friends? I'm telling you, God, dealing with hearts. Be honest before God. Father, how we praise you and honor you tonight. And God, we just bow our knee and just admit, God, just how prideful we really are. And God, we should be clothed with humility. Father, I ask your blessing, God, to be upon these young men that you have sent to preach to our hearts tonight. And what a wonderful job they did of being obedient to your voice as you shared with them the words that were to be spoken to our hearts. And God, I thank you for them, Lord, and I pray you'd keep them, and I pray you'd protect them, and I pray, God, you'd fill them and use them, God, for your glory. Help them, God, I pray, as they continue to serve you, that, Lord, you'd be near to them, and you'd speak to them, and you'd show them, reveal yourself to them, manifest yourself to them. Lord, I pray. God, where we get off in error, and we do, Lord, would you help us to be humble and admit where we're wrong, and Lord, get back where we need to be with you. Father, our church, Lord, we come before you, Father, and we pray that God, you'd help us to be a church of humility and a church of love. And God, you're working in us even now. And Father, how we praise you. Lord, I pray for my children. I pray for the children of this church that God, you'd help them in what they face with pressures and choices and decisions, God, that they need to make. God, I pray that you would help them, God, to be wise, spiritual, Lord, and guidance, Father, and instruction, God, you would give them about what choices to make. Lord, I pray, Father, not only for these young men, but God, I pray for folks that go out of this church, God, that are going in missions, God, and going out singing and testifying and other revival meetings and visiting other churches, God, and seeing folks in the marketplace. God, you'd help them, Lord, that they might behave themselves wisely. And God, have a good testimony before our fellow man. Lord, I ask, God, that you'd touch us. And I thank you, God, for all that you do for us. Lord, I pray for the sick. God, I pray that there'd be healing. God, I pray for marriages, God, that need a touch, that need help. Lord, I pray you'd help them, God, to remember humility. God, I need it so desperately myself. Lord, I love you. I praise you and I honor you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen and amen.